Hey, look at you guys. Boy, normally it's chaos in here during this welcome time. I thought I had another couple of seconds at least to get up here. Everybody, when I got up here, they informed me that my little stand here was not cooperating and that it actually tipped over and dumped my computer out. So everybody, I need you to spiritually admonish this stand for not working out the way that I had hoped it would. So, but anyway, it is wonderful to see you all here this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Wes Neal. I am the Celebrate Recovery ministry leader. I also do congregational care visits here at the church. And today I'm here I'm going to speak to us about the pursuit of the love of Jesus. This message was actually, the Holy Spirit brought it to me back in August. I was supposed to preach back in August and got right up to a couple of days before it was time to give the message, and all of a sudden I got COVID. So that put a slight break on being able to speak this word to you. But ever since that time, God has he's kept it on my heart. It won't go away. Last week, Pastor Rick was giving the message, and before he began, he made mention, he said, if he, as he came up here, that, if he could give one more message, what would it be? And I really have the same feeling about this message. It came from a time in my life where I was doing a lot. I was just doing a lot. I was serving a lot. Just everything was kind of from the outside. Everything looked upbeat. I was here, there, and on the inside, I could not have felt more distant from God. Am I the only one that's been in a situation like that? Would anybody be bold enough to say they've kind of been there? You know what I'm talking about. So I'm sitting there and I'm just, I'm journaling, I'm reading, and I'm just thinking, pondering, and I'm like, well, what do we do when Christ feels distant? We've given our hearts to Jesus, but inside that heart, we don't feel a closeness. And, of course, the question is, how can we restore our intimacy and closeness when we do feel that way? I came upon the scripture here. And it is Revelations in Revelations 3. And it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, I have no need of anything. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it? In this scripture, they're speaking to a church. This church, you're just kind of blah. And that's exactly where I was. In verse 18, it says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to apply to your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That was something that I really didn't think about at the time. Be zealous and repent. But God, I'm thinking, you know, I'm here and I'm doing all these things. You know, we had just come off of vacation Bible school. I, you know, had a few months of just being out and doing a lot of visitations and visiting with the sick, being with people. Things were going well. Ministry at CR, you know, it again, it seemed like I was just everywhere doing so many things for the church and was just inside, nowhere. It says, be zealous and repent. It never dawned on me that I may need to repent of something. And we're going to get there. We're going to get to that. Just hold still. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. The one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus already answered in verse 20 what I was guilty of and what I needed to repent of. I was running on my own power. In all the things that I was doing in my heart, guess who was doing them? Me. What's the problem with that? It's all Wes. Hey, Wes is out there. Wes is out going on a visit to meet with sick people. Wes is at VBS. Wes is doing this. Wes is doing that. Does anybody here see anything that might be wrong with that? There's a whole lot of stuff going on, but just a whole lot of Wes. And not a lot of Jesus. And that's what I needed to repent of. So we're going to look at this. Why we feel distant. So have you ever willfully let Jesus be Lord of your life? That's kind of where we have to start this question. You know, of course, if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, more than likely you are going to feel distant from him. It's just kind of one of those natural things. If you're not walking with him, he's not walking with you, of course. And you may not even realize it. When I was a non-believer, when at one point in my life, I was an atheist. I had no relationship with Christ, and I looked for any and everything to fill something in my heart that I really didn't even know was there. All I know is that I felt incomplete, inadequate, not right, just not of this world. I felt different. And I could not put my finger on it. As I grew, as faith started to grow inside of me, as I first yielded myself to Christ and then finally accepted him into my heart, and Jesus came and filled what was actually a Jesus-shaped hole that was in my heart, at that point, you know, I felt complete. For the very first time, I felt what I could describe as content, happy, normal. I felt fulfilled. However, through time, and I think for some of us, this can become natural, is that we become comfortable and complacent. And we can even become comfortable and complacent in our salvation. You know, as once again, as things became during that time all about me, I realized that not much was going on in my relationship. I was lukewarm. Exactly where in Revelation it described, I was neither hot nor cold. I was just kind of there and doing my own thing. See, when our walks are lukewarm, our spirits don't need Jesus. We have to ask ourselves, you know, are you ready to respond to the warmth of Jesus? Not just the safety of salvation. Are we living to live our lives in relationship with the Holy Spirit? If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, our lives will simply be stagnant. Are there anyone here like being out in nature, out in the woods, like to go hiking or hunting or camping? Have you ever been out in the woods and come upon a standing pool of water? If you have come upon a standing pool of water, very often, how do you first notice it? It smells very good. It stinks. See, cold water, like from a spring, it remains moving. It stays cold. It stays fresh. But when we're stagnant, when water is stagnant, all of a sudden it becomes safe harbors for bugs and larvae and bacteria. And, you know, I'm sure that animals have to go to the bathroom somewhere. You know, I'm pretty sure that somehow some of that gets mixed in there too. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got leaves and muck decaying in it. It just, yeah. Sometimes our walks with the Lord can become, yeah. So what does being spiritually stagnant look like? And how do we avoid spiritual stagnation and becoming stinky to Jesus and to the world and also ourselves? I have one more question to you. And I just thought of this on the way into church. What is the real problem with stagnant water? Any biology people in the sitting here? Shout out, what? It's not moving. So what happens in that with that kind of water? It gets filled with disease. It becomes filled with disease, and it can become actually poison. See, we can become that way for those then that we're supposed to share the living water with, When we're living in spiritual stagnation, we may be out, we may be involved in people's lives, but are we spreading to them something that is worthy for them to drink? Something that is healthy? How many here have heard from others that, yeah, you know what kept me from being a Christian? Other Christians. Yeah. We can become the very thing that becomes a stumbling block to those that we're trying to minister to. When we are stagnant, we are stubborn to surrender our hearts to Christ. We don't have the attitude of, what do you want to do next in my life, Jesus? You know, instead, we're looking around and Jesus wants to try something new in your life. And he's speaking into your heart. He's putting situations that are out there for each one of us to step into, trying something new. And we hear and we hear and we keep saying, not yet. I don't want to. I think you got it wrong this time, Lord. We become tired of listening to the Spirit and being quick to answer when the Holy Spirit is asking us to bless others in some way. And it doesn't matter how it is. It could be blessing someone financially. It could be blessing someone with a gift that you have. It could be blessing somebody with your time, your talents. It doesn't matter what the way that you're looking to bless those people. The problem is that when we do have those opportunities, it's like all of a sudden we hesitate. Who here has, you know, when you're driving and you come to an opportunity where you can see that somebody's in a tough situation where they're trying to make, especially with a left-hand turn, they're trying to cut across traffic. And this happens to me. I could not understand why this kept happening to me over and over and over again. I would be there, and I would have this opportunity where somebody was trying to turn left, cross over into traffic in front of me. And I could be a blessing. I could stop the traffic behind me. I could flash my headlights and allow that person to cut across safely and go about their day. And instead, I kept right on going. Kept right on going. And instantly afterwards, God would put it on my heart. Where are you going that you have to get there so quickly? Why couldn't you bless that person? Why couldn't you do something, just take a second out of your day that may make a huge difference in somebody else's life? We don't know if somebody's late for an appointment, late to a cardiologist. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. But we do know that there are things, areas that God puts in our way. How many times have you had an opportunity where you've felt the Holy Spirit say, you know what, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe I should give that person X amount of dollars. And you stop. For whatever reason, we just stop. We know what we're supposed to do. You may have the opportunity. Where's my grandparents out there? You know, you may have an opportunity to give your kids a moment, you know, an evening out on the town alone. All of a sudden, the little things go off in your head. You know what? I don't want to be chasing after a child. I already did that. I already did that once. Yeah, I'll be all right. They'll find a babysitter or something. It doesn't matter the thing. We hear God putting areas in our life We see God putting areas in our life where we can bless someone, and we just hold on that. We become apathetic or indifferent when we have the opportunity to share with someone either the gospel or a testimony. How many of us have been there where we're thinking, you know what? Man, this person at work, boy, they really, really, something's going on in their life. I've been there too. I know exactly where you're at. You know what? I really should tell them about the time Jesus did, you fill in the blank. Boy, they're going through a hard time. I know that they don't have Christ in their life. I know that that is the thing missing, the thing that they're searching for. Boy, I really should share the gospel with that person. And we're quiet. We start to groan. And I mean literally groan. When an opportunity arises that is within us that we can share our spiritual giftedness, and now instead of being excited to meet a need within the church, oh man, is it Miss Yvonne need somebody to help out with the children again? Oh, man, I don't want to do that. I could. I'm able. But for some reason, when we're spiritually stagnant, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to do that thing. We become not appreciative of Christ's sacrifice. And we start to have the attitude of, all of you that are in CR, you can fill this in. I'm looking at you, Seth. I got this. When we are not appreciative of Christ's sacrifice, and we're looking with intent. I love my brother Derek Fritchman. He constantly uses this phrase of being intentional or intentionality. If you guys know Derek, you know that that phrase comes out of his mouth all the time. And I love it about him because it is so true. When we are appreciative of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are walking around in life. We are looking for those opportunities. We're looking to pounce on them. We're intentional about the way that we can share. We're intentional about offering ourselves. Otherwise, we're like, I got this. I'll make my own decisions about when I look to help out, when I want to be a Christian. We are absent from opportunities to serve. Now, this is different. And be on the lookout for this in your life. If you are involved in opportunities to serve here at the church, and it starts to become very easy to find a way to call off, to not show up, to not be involved, to not keep our appointments, to serve, that is a sure sign that we are developing spiritual stagnation. We are no longer bold and courageous. In our faith, we are no longer willing to jump out and to try something new and to say, Jesus, you know what? Let's just see how this might work out. We begin to doubt that the Lord will meet the needs that we are asking him to meet. Lord, heal my sickness. Fix my marriage. Set me free of this addiction. Heal this hurt in my heart. And I'm not even sure if Jesus even sees me anymore. Not really sure he cares. I don't know. We no longer want to ask him into those things, those areas where he's just looking to write our next testimony, the next thing that he can show himself to us. And finally, we are trying to just be good, and we are not in pursuit of the journey. We are doing the absolute bare minimum. We say, okay, you know what? Well, I read a half journal of my, or a half chapter of my Bible. I journaled one sentence. I'm good. I have officially met the check mark of my time with God. Which, with the right attitude, that half chapter, that one sentence, it might be mind-blowing. It might be something amazing. But for the most part, if we are feeling spiritually stagnant, the best thing I can say is that really, we have just checked out and we're just checking boxes. We may look busy. We may look like we're still involved. We may look like everything is going along fine in our walk with the Lord. But we are walking on very, very thin ice. I also do a lot of counseling here at the church. And unfortunately, I get to see some of the times when being spiritually stagnant and some of those symptoms creep into people's lives. I've met Celebrate Recovery every week, and I see the hurts. And I see the areas where people have become spiritually stagnant. So why don't we try something different? Why don't we try something new or fresh? So someone got fresh. Man, I'm having a flashback moment to the early 80s when fresh was the new slang word for Generation X. Boy, I put on a brand new shirt. Boy, I look fresh. Sorry for you Generation Alphas and Zs and Millennials. You might not get that one, but for all my Gen Xers, you're there with me. When we're doing things fresh, we're looking to find opportunities to tell others about Jesus and how he is working in our life. Who here remembers being a baby Christian? When I was a baby Christian, I had gotten saved in State College, PA. I was at Penn State, and I can remember very vividly when I got saved. Boy, you didn't want to be around Wes, because Wes would, if I even got a smell that you didn't know Jesus in your heart, boy, I was coming right up. Hi, how are you? I can remember very vividly, I saw a gentleman that was not dressed the best, you know, not fresh, not fresh. He was definitely not fresh in any shape or form. No rhyme or reason. He was not fresh. And I sat down. And we had, you know, amazing talks, he and I. I'm sharing the gospel. He grew up as a Quaker. You know, we started to have conversations. And I can't say that he came to a relationship with Christ. For whatever reason, our lives kind of diverged. And before I could, you know, I could make sure of that, he was out of my life. But I love looking back and knowing that's a person I planted a seed in his heart. I loved being the new Christian that would go out and have the opportunities to go and to be on missions trips. And I've got an entire group of youth group kids with me in downtown Atlanta in a park there that the locals call Jurassic Park. I forget the name of the park. It's not Centennial. It wasn't. I can't remember. The locals, they call it Jurassic Park. And there is a reason, because if you walk in there, you may get eaten alive. Or at least that was the impression that people gave you. I walked in with this group of kids. There was probably 10 of us. And yes, this was during the height of the opioid addiction. This was at the height of heroin everywhere, needles just strewn, just all over the place, baggies, people getting out of cars, literally still, if you know the word, tweaking. They're still... their lungs still, when they're talking to you. From whatever drugs that they were on, meth, crack, still that gasping in their lungs. And getting there and saying, "Brother, would you like a peanut butter sandwich? You know, why don't you sit down? Why don't we talk? Let me tell you about this guy that I know named Jesus. Let me tell you about a new way to live, something different, something new." There was a boldness. There was not anyone that could shut me up about talking about the Lord. And sometimes I look around at myself and I'm like, I have now gotten 20 some years, 24, 25 years of walking with the Lord, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, I should be more bold than this, than where I'm at right now. I should be more. And over time, I've gotten, sometimes I get less. But then the Lord corrects me and he's like, "No, those opportunities that I give you, they're still all around you. You may not recognize them, but they're still there. They may be different. What I've not given you in boldness, now I've imparted with you a wisdom and a sense to know when it's right to reach out to someone. I've become receptive to being used in the kingdom. Being able to say, where can I be used now? Where can I be used now? How many of us have been in a same ministry for years and years? Years and years. How many of those people, you guys keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Those that have been involved in ministries for years and years. Keep your hands up if you have started, those people that are there, if you have started in a new ministry within the past 3 years. Okay. That's great. Some of your hands went up. Some of them, they went down. Sometimes we get so used to just serving where we have always served, doing the things that we have always done. We become unreceptive to looking to new areas where maybe God is pulling us in this direction. Maybe you've had this tug on your heart. You know what? I really want to try that. Yeah, I really want to try that, but you know what? I might not be very good at it. I don't want to do that. Who wants to be told that they stink at something else again in life? You know, I've been there, I've done that. But you know what? It's okay. I am telling you from up here, it is okay to try something new for the Lord. It's okay to step out of our comfort zone, and it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. Not everything that we do are we going to be good at. Jessica, am I going to have to tell them about my little step out into singing? Yes, let's tell you about my step out into singing. Jessica and I, we were serving at a church in Cincinnati, and the Christmas cantata was next thing on the deck. It is, and Jessica needed some male voices to help balance out the choir. And how can I put this nicely to myself, where I'm not going to just destroy my own self-confidence? I can sort of, kind of, stay on tune with a song. However, Luther Vandross, I am not. You know, but she needed something. She needed some people. I was willing to try it. I stepped out on faith. Now, and you want to know something? I got to learn that once and for all, singing is not your gift, Wesley. That is not what the Lord has put in your heart to do. However, did the cantata go off? Yes, it did. Did it sound reasonably okay, Jessica? Yes. All right. Did I hit a few bad notes? Yes. Yes, I did. But man, I had a blast. The group had a blast putting that together. We developed friendships. Friendships got stronger. People that I didn't have any relationship, we got to talk. We got to be a part of other people's lives. And for those people that got to come in and to experience the cantata, we got to bless them by offering and making a joyful noise unto the Lord about the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, there are opportunities to try something new. You don't have to knock it out of the park. You know, the next thing that we have to look at is, can we become engulfed with gratitude for Christ's sacrifice for us, engulfed with gratitude. When we are engulfed with gratitude, when we look around at our life and we say, my gosh, I see the world that's out there. I see the world that is just on the other side of that wall, on the other side of those doors. I can see what's happening on the news. I can see the fires that are blazing out of control. I can see the floods that are throughout other areas of the country and around the world. I can see snow in places where it hasn't snowed in years. I hear the stories of wars and rumor of wars. We all can recognize that we are definitely walking further and further into the ending of the story of the completion of the Bible. We are walking towards the ending of Revelation. When that will be, I don't know. But I do know that we are pursuing further and further and further into that. And I know that at some point, Scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will have to give an account to Jesus Christ about our lives. And I know for me that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know what he's done in my life. I know that I am going on that day where either I die or he comes back. My name is written in the book of life. I know exactly where I'm going. I know that when my eyes close for the last time here on this world, that I am going to wake up in paradise with my Lord and Savior. So now the question has to be, what won't I do? What won't I do? What is so bad here? What is so awful that could be here on this, in this place, in this world, that I can't walk around and be bold for Christ? That I can't walk around and take a risk and to possibly fail yet again by trying something new? When I am just overcome by what Christ has done for me, every time that he gives me an opportunity, I should be looking for the words to say yes, and to say them as quick as I possibly can. Wes, I need you to let that person make that left-hand turn. Yes! Give that cashier $20. Yes! Give of your time. Yes! Go visit that person. Yes! Yes! Because when Jesus was given the opportunity, when he was sitting in the garden, he's talking with his father and he's sweating blood. He's thinking, Lord, if there's another way, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. But in that moment, Jesus was engulfed with a love for each one of us and for all of humanity. And he said yes to that opportunity on the cross. We seek God's ways. How do we know what God wants us to do? We seek God's ways. One of the best ways to do this is through Proverbs. And finally, we have an open dialogue. We're looking to live our faith, not as a checklist, but as an adventure. When we're living fresh and we're finding opportunities to tell others about Jesus and how he is working in our lives, 1 Peter 3:14-15 says, "And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be in dread, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect." When God is asking us to be receptive to being used in the kingdom, Scripture says in Ephesians 2:4-10, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." For grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Are we unwilling to serve because we feel that we are unworthy or unqualified to serve? Is that the reason? Have you felt drawn to try, but you feel that you can't move towards that goal? Let me just remind you, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Be excited to see what the Holy Spirit will do each day. Romans 8:6-8 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans 8:13-14 says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living in accord with the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." When we are no longer looking at the things that make sense to us, when we come out of that "I got this" attitude, and we are looking for the Holy Spirit to be our guide for the things that we are looking to do in our life, then all of a sudden we are willing, we are excited to see how the Holy Spirit is going to manifest himself on a day-to-day basis. We get up in the morning and we are just looking around. "Okay, Holy Spirit, what are we doing today? What's the next thing? I'm no longer bound by my flesh. I don't feel like I want to do something. I'm not bound by my flesh. I have an aches and pains. I'm not bound by my flesh. I can get up. I am going to get up. I'm going to find what Jesus wants me to do that day. Let's go. Holy Spirit, let's go. Let's go find something to do. What's the next thing?" We seek God's ways. We read our Proverbs daily. We live boldly for Christ. In this I said, I have this in parentheses, have I said no? Have I said no? Am I living my life and around living my life and I'm looking for these things that I've said no to God about. You know what, God? I would like to do that, but you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm walking around in resistance to what you want to do. In order to know that, we have to know what is wisdom. We have to have wisdom in our life. So in Proverbs 1:1-4, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understandings, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion." Verses 5 through 6 say, "A wise person will hear an increase in learning, and a person of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Am I the one that said no to something that God wants to do, and now all of a sudden, in my heart, I feel distant from Him? Well, yes. If you have said no to somebody in your life, if you are withholding yourself from them, guess what? If that is the case, you will have a feeling of distance from them. In Proverbs, we can look for the wisdom of how we may be falling short of living our life in God's ways. Proverbs provide us with a daily dose of God's wisdom and instruction for our lives. Look there for instruction on how our lives are not matching up with how God would want us to live our life and how we're making our decisions. And finally, H, have an open dialogue. Live your faith not as a checklist, but as an adventure. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That was the scripture that I read when the Lord really began to work on my heart at the very beginning of all of this. There I am, doing so many things, out trying to be so many things, out trying to look the part. And then to be confronted with, "Be gone. I never knew you." Wow. I never knew you because you didn't spend time with me. We weren't in a relationship. You were too busy, Wesley, saying, "I got this." Wesley, you were too busy to sit down and to get into the Word and to be with me on a day-to-day basis. You would become a stagnant pool. I've called you to be a mountain spring. You should flow with water from another source, not a water that's of yourself or of this world, but you should be flowing from with the water that is coming from me, that emanates from me, that wants to be with me, that when you're doing those things, you are carrying me to others. You should never look at the things you're doing and saying, Wes, 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 Wes did, Wes did, Wes did. Wesley, when you go back out, let's go together. Let's be on an adventure together. When you say something about how your day went, well, Jesus and I, we went out. We visited the sick. We talked to a man. I spoke the words of your life, Lord. I told him. I told him about how you love him, and that you'll die, you died on a cross for him. When we're that kind of refreshing water, then we're not going to ever be a type of poison. We're not going to be stinky either to ourselves or to other people. We will not be stinky to the Lord. We will be something fresh, something wonderful, something meaningful in the lives that we encounter. If the music team would like to start coming up. I started this sermon, and I said that it all ultimately begins, though, with answering a question: do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you made a decision? Do you finally want to go through life saying, nah, I don't got this. I recognize, Lord, I don't got this. But I want to live life with you, Lord. I've never had this adventure with you, but I think maybe I do want that. If each one of you would just bow your heads. I want to give everyone an opportunity to, in this moment, if that is you, and you want to say yes to Jesus today, that you want to begin this new walk, this fresh walk, that you would just look up at me or wave your hand, just get my attention so that I know that that is, I see, so that I know that you're making that decision today. Is there anyone that I'm not seeing? Please wave your hand. The lights are bright if that's you today. Thank you. I see the one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see you in the back. Thank you, Lord. And for those of us that have already made that decision and we're here today, and we may not be as fresh as we want to be. We may be living in some spiritual stagnation. Are you ready to commit to walking in ways that will freshen that walk, to do new things, to step out, to get out on that path of adventure with Jesus? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see you. I see hands all over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I see you in the balcony. Yes. If each one of you would just pray, just say this prayer along with me, after me, as I'll lead us in this prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for a life that does not have to be stagnant, one that does not have to be stale, one that doesn't have to be stinky. Lord, I commit my life, giving you control, so that I can tap into that spring of everlasting water, living water, so that we may have everlasting life, a life abundant.